listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It's time to take a look at some of the articles in the December issue of the Lutheran Witness. Our contributor and guest today, the Reverend James Dahlke, pastor at St. Matthew Lutheran Church, Concordia, Missouri. Pastor Dahlke, welcome to Faith and Family.
Yeah, thank you very much, Andy. Very glad to talk with you this morning.
So glad to have some time with you to hear about what's going on at St. Matthew Lutheran Church and also your article in this month's Lutheran Witness. Why does the church drag Christmas out for 12 days when I'm ready to take the tree down on the 26th? A good question. We'll get to that here in a little bit. Tell me about your congregation, St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Concordia, Missouri.
Yeah, St. Matthew, we're about 7 miles out of Concordia. We're a rural congregation, been around since 1899. I've been serving here now for about 13 and a half years. Was part-time instructor during that time at St. Paul Lutheran High School in Concordia.
Now, I gather that St. Matthew observes this the church year season of Advent and Christmas that's right around the corner for us, and a number of things during that time of Christmas going on as well. What does the season of Advent look like for you and your congregation?
We have evening services. There were four this year because of the calendar deal, but yeah, we had four services, and I was gone for the first two of those and had my first one last night.
Now, you mentioned you were gone. You were traveling, doing something special this year during part of Advent.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. We worked with Board for International Missions and Dan McMiller. Been visiting with them off and on since April, and God presented an opportunity for my wife and I to go to Nigeria. I taught two intensive classes at Obed Edom, the Lutheran Seminary there in Nigeria.
Oh, tell me about that. What was? Tell me about the students you met there and the classes that you taught.
Yeah, I taught a morning class, and they were intensive, so I had 3 hours in the morning and 3 hours in the afternoon. Morning class was principles of biblical interpretation. Afternoon class was an introduction to the Lutheran confessions. Great student body, very responsive and respectful. Just a good experience in the classroom for sure. Made some friends on the faculty there, and we're looking forward, God willing, to perhaps go back.
Well, thanks be to God for that opportunity to travel there and to teach, to share in the teaching of the seminary there. And tell me about the people you met there and your visit, who you got to know, and what life was like for you in that part of the world.
Yeah, Rector is Michael Adoga. Spent quite a bit of time with him just because I was always touching base with him with classes and students. And Reverend Father Charles Wakama became a very good friend in that short time. And he, I believe, is Dean of Chapel, and I think he does a few other things he's also on the teaching faculty.
And I gather there was a bit of a language difference there.
Well, no, actually, they all speak English, so it was perfect. The only time I needed an interpreter is the Sunday between the 2 weeks that I was there. We went out to a congregation out in the bush, fairly new planted congregation from the seminary, and that's where I needed an interpreter that morning when I preached.
Tell me about that service when you were.
Oh, it was wonderful. Very liturgically based, very responsive from the congregation. Took a lot of pictures afterwards. Had a 6-member choir that sang, so that was very appropriate. And it was just it was like stepping from Concordia to Nigeria, but really very recognizable in terms of our divine service. So I enjoyed that very much.
Why is that important? How is that important and valuable to us as a church, that the church shares this common history, this order of service that's been passed down through generations as we gather together for the divine service to receive God's gifts, that no matter what language it's in, there's still this common thing that there's still this familiarity no matter where you are, no matter what the language is.
Well, I think that's absolutely essential and important. It's again a shared heritage in terms of hymnody and creed and liturgy, and it's very refreshing for my wife and I to go somewhere and you know what's going on. We've spent some time in Haiti also, and there it's they don't speak English, but you know exactly where you're at in the service because we have this shared history and heritage in the liturgy.
And some of these things that are sometimes overlooked in our shared heritage and history is this time of Christmas that you address in your article in the Lutheran Witness this month, looking at these 12 days of Christmas. Many of us are familiar with the song, The 12 Days of Christmas. When do those 12 days begin?
December 26th, St. Stephen starts it off for us.
One of the saints, those who have gone before us, particularly St. Stephen, was a deacon and mm-hmm. martyr, a servant in the church, and supporting that office of holy ministry and also a martyr for his bold witness as well. And so that's December 26th, often a day that's overlooked. In other countries, even in the United States, it's the day where a lot of people are just returning gifts that they received at Christmas that they don't want. But that's not what that day is all about.
No, I think, again, this rich heritage that we have is really played out in these 12 days of Christmas. And, excuse me, the opportunity, again, to place that before our people and remind them, really, what the Christmas season is all about. And it's not about returning gifts or receiving gifts except, you know, the one gift, that's Jesus Christ.
Other dates during those 12 days of Christmas that perhaps have been overlooked?
Yeah, December 27th is set aside for St. John. And, of course, he's the only apostle that survived being killed by persecution, martyred. We have a day set aside for the time when King Herod had the babies of Bethlehem murdered, hoping to get the Christ child in that. That's December 28th. 29th, we have King David, a day set aside for him. And January 1st, which, interestingly, this year also falls on Sunday, as Christmas does. That's circumcision and naming of Jesus, the first time he sheds his blood for us. And takes us right up to the Epiphany season. Starts on January 6th.
Now, why all these days that regarding saints and those who have gone before us and things that have happened before us? Why is it important? Why is that significant? Are we worshiping saints on these days?
No. I think even the confessions simply sort of address it in terms of giving honor to the saints who have gone before us and thanks to God because we have their example and their confession. The fact that they used their God-given gifts in these particular ways. So I think it's just helpful in our worship life to remember those who have gone before us. I always think about Hebrews 11, that faith chapter where you hear, you know, that whole list of Old Testament saints who have gone before us and who were faithful in their confession.
And from a practical perspective, is there something that is helpful for us to do on these days that helps us remember and give thanks to God for those who've gone before us?
Well, certainly there's devotional material available that identify those days. I use the Treasury of Daily Prayer from CPH, and they always recognize particular saints' days. And, I think there's material available that's helpful to us just to, again, not to turn it into a holiday, but to truly, you know, see in terms of our Christian faith and the example that the saints have given us to take advantage of that.
I, too, use Treasury of Daily Prayer. That's what we use here at KFUO as well for our morning devotions on His time. I like the nice bound copy of it, but I like even more the electronic edition called the Pray Now app because then I don't lose my place in it. It takes you right to the, you know, with all those ribbons and the nice, beautiful leather-bound copy, I kind of get lost sometimes. It's beautiful, but I like the electronic one because it takes me right to where I'm supposed to be for that day.
You got everything you need right there. Well, I have the bound one, and I use it regularly, so really appreciate the work CPH did in that.
It is. It's an outstanding piece and very supportive of devotional life and faithful family life as well as the family gathers for prayer. It's certainly a great resource for that. Now, there's one other date that occurs during that time as well that we haven't mentioned yet, and that's January 2nd.
Oh, yeah. I did have that in the article also. Mm-hmm. the missionary efforts of lay, the guy who from Germany sent an awful lot of missionaries over here to the United States and was very influential in getting Fort Wayne Seminary started. Just a real a layman who really, I think, set the bar high for others to, use their gifts again for the benefit of the church and the advancement of Christ.
Now, in our household, we do keep the, I wouldn't say that we're super pious and that we observe all of these things during the 12 days of Christmas, but I prefer to keep the Christmas tree up through the 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah, we actually do too. Yep.
While all the other places, especially when it comes to the commercial world, the Christmas decorations come down on December 26th or certainly by January 2nd.
Yeah, well, they have to get that Valentine's Day stuff out, right?
That's right.
There's another saint, by the way.
But we keep up the decorations through January 6th, and we enjoy it and take advantage of the time to observe those 12 days of Christmas. And I don't necessarily sing through the 12 days of, those 12 days of Christmas, but it's fun in our household and somewhat countercultural.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. We do the same, both congregation and here in our home.
Well, thank you for your contribution to The Witness this month. And do you do anything else special during those 12 days of Christmas, or do you have any family traditions during that time of year?
All of our children are out of the home and have their own families and traditions. So we used to do some things, but they just, when they left, the traditions left with them.
Well, what were some of those family traditions during that time of Christmas?
Well, a very practical thing we did always after, in fact, we still do that for a few years after the kids left, but we, on the 26th, we'd always go bowling as a family, have a bowling day, and then go out to eat somewhere. Just devotionally, we continue our devotions through that time, and that's always an important part, or was an important part, of bringing up our children and for my wife and I now also. So,
now, was bowling selected for December 26th because St. Stephen was a great bowler?
I don't think so. I haven't seen that anywhere in the historical accounts, but I suppose you could say he got bowled over by those trying to stone him, maybe.
So it was something that you found to be fun for the family, and it was a tradition that stuck.
Well, yeah, and we did it for a lot of years. Even our older kids would come back, if they were close enough, and we'd have 15 to 20 bowlers out there having a lot of fun.
Quite the team of donkeys.
Yeah, there is. We had 10 children.
You had your own league.
Yeah, we actually did.
Oh, goodness. Well, an outstanding article and something to help us remember that Christmas doesn't end on December 25th. Thanks for reminding us of that and giving us something to look forward to as we look forward to this time of Christmas, particularly those 12 days of Christmas, not something to be drug out, but something to be observed and to give thanks to God for those who have gone before us during that time and to enjoy that whole time of Christmas.
Absolutely. Thank you, Andy.
Pastor Dahlke, God's blessings on your service there at St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Concordia, Missouri.
Thank you very much.
I'm Andy Bates. That does it for Faith and Family today, but stick around for a brief preview of what's to come in the days for our Christmas programming. We have special Christmas music and scripture readings and a whole lot more. Greetings from our missionaries and chaplains around the world as well. Get a sneak preview of that here in just a moment on Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.